She's the talk of the town. You wanna be to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelett. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelett.
And here we are, the first Friday morning in October, and it's a little cold out there this morning, but this is the talk of the town with Marge Hazelett. Marge is here, and boy, Marge, as CNN flashes up all the time, we greet the listening audience with breaking news.
Right.
Here's the deal, and this is kind of tough to explain, but the Kavanaugh procedural vote happened about 10:30 this morning, and it did pass 51-49. Razor thin. Now, if you want to know how those four key senators, who we did not know how they would vote, voted, Manchin was the only Democrat who voted yes. Flake, the Republican, voted yes. And Collins, the Republican, voted yes. Murkowski, surprisingly, the Republican, voted no. So that's how we ended up with 51-49. What that does is end debate for today. That takes us tomorrow. It doesn't mean Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court. It just means the final vote is now set for tomorrow. Now, if Murkowski's in the no category already, I assume she will stay there. Everybody, so she's out of the equation now. So really, it comes down to Flake, Collins, and Manchin. Now, they can only afford, it's my understanding, to lose one. Because if it ends up being 50-50, then the vice president comes in and he breaks the tie.
Mm-hmm.
So if they lose two of these three, Collins, Manchin, and Flake, all they have to do is lose two of them tomorrow, and he's done. One can still vote yes. Now, my guess is Flake is now a yes because he said he wanted to get to the point where he could vote for this guy. Collins is saying this afternoon she's going to let you know how she's going to vote. Manchin, he's a Democrat. He could change his vote tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they've already lost Murkowski, which is interesting, and they can only lose two, it's my understanding, and they've already lost her. So it's still a jump ball, Marge.
I know.
For Saturday. What do you make of this whole falderal?
I don't know. 1 minute you think you understand it, and the next minute you think, I don't know.
You know, what it's bringing into question is, because this was done when he was in his teens.
Right.
Can we ever forgive?
Well, frankly, I think there should be a timeline on all of this stuff. How long can you wait to say that you were molested or you were... done something, somebody did something to you? How accurate is your memory? I was just trying to think when I was a kid, would I even understand half of what they're talking about today? You know, I fortunately never had anything happen to me like that. And my dad and mother talked about it with us several times, you know, so that we knew and understood. And because we lived in a neighborhood where there were a lot of elderly men. And my dad would always say, now, you know, you don't let them touch you, you know, because they're old and they don't sometimes remember that it's improper. So, you know, and it's not that they mean to do it. It's just that, you know, hormones are going to play act also for them too. So I don't know. It's difficult to say to a young child, these are things that you should not do, because that isn't anything in their mind. And you don't want to put something in their mind. But on the other hand, you want to make sure that they understand that it's not right to do something like that.
I think the big case here, nobody is saying that Judge Kavanaugh should go to jail or be tried.
No.
That's not what's being said. What's being said is this is a lifetime appointment.
Right.
That people do not get to vote on. And the people, mm-hmm. we the people, senators get to vote on it.
Right.
Is he somebody, if he did that in the past, who should be on the court for life?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's anything about prosecuting.
No.
I don't think it's about putting anybody in jail.
No.
It's just, should somebody be given the highest honor that we can give a judge in the United States? And he's a younger guy. He could be on there for 40 years.
Right.
Should he be given that if he did that in the past?
Well, you know, what we did in the past is done. Can't undo it. And I'm sure that if we brought him in here right now, he probably would tell you that, I'm sorry that I did these things. I was immature. I didn't understand what was going really on. And he's paying for it very deeply. And one of the things that I think the teachers and educators should now hone in on is the fact that we need to have lessons on how to take care of yourself, what is right, what is wrong, what it can do as far as impacting their future.
Well, you know, Marge, I think if he had said that, they would have confirmed him. I think the problem is he's saying he didn't do it.
Right.
Which, it's a conundrum, because if he didn't do it, don't admit to it. I understand that.
I understand that.
But if you believe her, then he's lying. And should you put a judge on the Supreme Court who's willing to lie under oath?
No.
So that's the problem. It's a big, difficult question. I honestly think if he had admitted to doing it mm-hmm. at 15 or 16 or whatever it was, and said, I was young, I've grown, it was a mistake, I apologize to her, I think they would have confirmed him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now the question is, a judge, did you lie? Did mm-hmm. you lie to us? And if you lied to us, that's illegal. You can't do that under oath.
No.
So should we reward, and this is today, this isn't 30 years ago, should we put you on the Supreme Court if you're willing to lie to us?
Right.
And what else have you lied about in this testimony?
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. But all I can say to you young people, be very, very cognitive when you're thinking about what you are going to do, because there's no excuse. We have all kinds of advantages today that we didn't have at your age and my age. And I think it's time that we listen to some of the elders. You know, they think we're old and we don't have any brains or whatever. You better sit down and think about what you're saying, because you've got a long way ahead of you and you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Well, it's true. And I come down on this, really, that, you know, he did put his hand, well, I don't know, allegedly. He allegedly put his hand over her mouth. He allegedly tried to do things, but she got away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she testified to that she got away. I think it would have been easier to forgive if he would have said, yes, I did it, but I was young. That's not who I am now.
Right.
But did he lie? Because if you believe her, then you believe it happened, then he's lied.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave that speech last week, which he even apologized for this morning in the New York Times. He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times saying, that was out of character. I shouldn't have done that. Should he be let off? Because now John Paul Stevens, who's 98 years old, a former Supreme Court judge down in Florida, has said he doesn't think he should be on the court, not because of the forward thing, but because of his demeanor, his temperament
right.
last week.
Right.
Well, that's, and he was a Kavanaugh supporter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it? Was his temperament right when he got up and testified last week?
I didn't see it. I'm sorry that I missed that. But you got to be careful when you're, well, it's kind of like an animal. You corner them, and what are they going to do? They're going to fight.
They are, but I think, I understand why he was angry, and I'm not saying I wouldn't be angry too. I might be. But I think.
But you got to be.
When you're a judge, you've got. That's the whole job.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't lose your cool.
Right.
And how many, you know, what I would ask Judge Kavanaugh is, if somebody came into his courtroom with the demeanor that he had in that meeting last week, would he think that was okay?
No, he'd probably throw him out.
Right. So that's the question.
Right.
So it's fascinating. And another thing that is now brought up, I think his testimony really hurt him badly because he said, the Democrats are out to get me.
Right.
Now, wait a second. The Supreme Court is not supposed to be political. Now, we all know it's political. But when you outright say that the Clintons were out to get you and that big money in the Democratic Party was being spent to hurt you. Now, let's say it was. I mean, I don't know if the Clintons were out to get him, but let's say there is big money being spent. Maybe there is. But there's also big money in the Republican Party being spent to get you in. Mm-hmm. I mean, who has seen these? I see these commercials where it's, you know, Brett Kavanaugh's friend from high school thinks he's a wonderful guy. I didn't see him criticizing those ads.
No.
For Republicans spending big money. So that brings up a whole other point. Could he be impartial when it comes to cases to do with politics?
Right. Well, again, like I said, I think that students better look and listen to some of us older people. I don't care whether we're young or old or whatever we are. We have some experience. And I think that this is something that we're getting away from. I used to listen to my family members, my elders, and think, well, you know, they look like they know what they're talking about. I better listen. And I think that we're, nowadays, we kind of brush us aside because older people are, you know, even on TV, they make fun of us. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't mean to say that they're doing it on purpose, but they do make us look like we are not together. And I hope to think I'm together most of the time.
Not an accurate depiction on television.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because one thing I will say about all this, you go back 20 or 30 years, nobody knew about the Supreme Court.
Yep.
Nobody was marching. Nobody watched confirmation hearings. Very small portion of the country. I tell you what, people are paying attention. Right. And if this is what has caused it, good. Because people do need to learn about how government works.
Right.
And they're lined up in front of the Supreme Court, these activists, and they are ready to go.
I don't know how you was taught, you know, history, but I don't recall getting really into this kind of stuff. It was just kind of brushed over, you know, and I go home and I ask my grandfather was really into this stuff, and he would tell me and explain it. So I had probably more knowledge than the average kid, and I'd go tell my friends, and then we would talk about it, you know, some of what we made fun of and some of what we didn't, you know. But I think that today we don't take any of this stuff serious. They pull it out of school.
Well, and
we don't even know what's going on.
Well, and I think that's why anybody in the media, and the Marion Star has been doing a great job of this.
They have.
But anybody in the media, you cannot say that you're not going to cover news and not going to talk about it. Now, I understand it's not the most flowery thing to talk about most of the time, and it's not. I mean, it's people are very sensitive when it comes to politics. There's no doubt about it. But you try to tell the truth, and you try to educate people, and if you don't do that, then these airwaves don't mean much.
Right.
You know, Edward R. Murrow, years ago in one of his final speeches, talked about television. And I don't have, anybody should go back and find this speech he gave right before he died in the 70s. It's also in the movie Good Night and Good Luck, which is a great movie about Edward R. Murrow. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, here's a guy who spent his life in electronic journalism, radio during World War II, and he was the guy who brought down Joe McCarthy when he was mm-hmm. on television. And Edward R. Murrow in the early 70s gave a speech to, I think, some broadcasters. They gave him an award. And he said, you know, he said, electronic media is a great thing. And he said, but if we don't use it to teach, if we use it just for entertainment, if we use it just for sitcoms and dramas and variety shows and funny things and lewd things, if we don't use it to entertain, then it just becomes a box with a bunch of wires in it.
Right.
And I agree.
I agree.
You cannot be funny all the time. Mm. You cannot be all music and all fun stuff, because what's the point?
Right.
I mean, what is the point then? You have to use this tool to educate.
Mm, correct.
I mean, how do you feel about that, Marge?
I do. I feel very strongly about it. And I think that this is the part that we're losing. And I'm not saying it's totally lost, but I think we need to get it put together. And we need to come to some agreement as to how we want to use it or how it needs to be used. And I don't know. It just seems like we've kind of thrown the baby out with wash water with a lot of this stuff. We just say, well, that was back 50 years ago, so what? Well, they're going back that long. Yeah. And I'm not sure it's right, but...
And I watch entertainment programs. I like them.
I do,
but
too.
But it can't be all that.
No.
Because this device, radio, even predated television, if you don't use it to educate people, you know, Men on the Moon, where did we see that footage? Television.
Right.
World War II. Where did we get... How do we have reports from World War II? Radio. Edward R. Murrow. That wasn't flowery. That wasn't entertainment. It was news. It was information. And you've got to have that.
Well, it's very interesting to go and talk to some of my relatives who were right there in Pearl Harbor when all this happened. And my husband's aunt and uncle lived right by where this all occurred. And it was very sad for the kids because they actually saw it and grew up to be men to talk about it. And, you know, we don't want to say, oh, it never happened. Well, you don't know that it didn't happen. You weren't even born. You have to take and rely on our history and rely that people are telling the truth, because I wasn't born either, so I didn't. Yeah, I may have been born. I guess I was. But I don't know. My parents tried to explain things the best way they knew. And they used the newspaper because that would be the only thing they had available. We couldn't use the TV because we didn't have that. And then half the time we didn't have our radios because they took a lot of it out because they apparently didn't want people to know about it, or especially the enemy.
You know, here's something I wanted to play. And Marge, I want you to hear this through the headphones and the listeners at home, because I think this is important. Not only Edward R. Murrow, but the father of broadcast media in Marion, our own Marion, Ohio here, was Bob Mason, who
right.
started WMRN.
Right.
And Bob, on the 20th anniversary of WMRN, which would have been in 1960, this is Bob Mason's voice. For people who've never heard Bob Mason, this is Bob Mason. And this is what he thought the medium of radio should be used for. Now, take a listen to what not just Edward R. Murrow, not just what we're talking about, but we're going back 1960. What is that? That's 68 years ago now. Right. This is what Bob Mason thought radio in Marion should be used for. And let me see if I can get this up here correctly. And I think we'll have it playing here momentarily. This is Bob Mason, the founder of radio in Marion, Ohio, in 1960, talking about the medium of radio.
2 o'clock, December 23rd, 1940. Before Pearl Harbor, before building of the Scioto Ordnance Plant, before Marion Engineer Depot, before Marion launched on a program of rebirth and rebuilding. 20 years ago, a new voice of progress appeared upon the scene, a voice dedicated to public service and community progress, a radio station which in the past two decades has become an integral part of community life, a medium of news for local as well as regional, state, national, and international events, a medium for education through public forums, through cooperation with schools, colleges, and universities, a medium for entertainment and music from grand opera to folk song, a trading post for merchandise, a sports reporter from the scenes of high school and college basketball and football. While other electronic media have emphasized rock and roll or frantic and frenzied broadcasting, it has been the unswerving policy of this station to render only such substantial and intimate service as could be obtained from no other source, even to recovery of lost pets or people. 2 o'clock,
Bob
December.
Mason, the father of radio in Marion. Now, Marge, there it is.
Right. Well, I was sitting here just thinking, of course, Upper Sandusky and Tiffin didn't have a radio show back. I don't believe, if I remember right, I don't think they had them. But it's so interesting for me to sit and think about what was and what is now, because we're talking about things that actually were going on and then actually blooming, blossoming, or whatever you want to call it, into something big and really newsy. And I remember listening on, you know, our little radios that we had back in those day and age, which wasn't much, but we listened and we were quiet. You kept your mouth closed unless it was really an urgent question.
Isn't it interesting, though? Now, that, again, was Bob Mason, the founder of WMRN, the founder of electronic media here in Marion. And it's interesting because he says in that clip, which is unedited, he says that news, local, state, and national. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always this idea, we got to stay local, nothing but local, nothing but local.
Right.
Well, the founder of media in Marion way back on December 23rd, 1940, didn't feel that way. He felt national in his own words. And he said the cling and clang of rock and roll,
right,
which I think is interesting. Now, he did say folk music, yes, there is a place for entertainment.
Correct.
But it's just one piece of the pizza.
Right.
It's not. News is news. And to avoid it, then you become, as Edward R. Murrow said, just a box with a bunch of wires in it.
Right.
You know, people did not gather around the radio for things that were, I mean, they did for entertainment, but if something like Pearl Harbor happened, my goodness, you didn't speak a word.
No, you're not kidding, you didn't.
News was important.
Very.
And we trusted it.
And then when we went to school, the teachers reviewed it with us. I remember that vividly. We just sat there. We really didn't know what was going on, but we listened. And then we went home and talked with our family about it.
Well, and also, if there's anybody who has any comments on this, 37 minutes past the hour, we've got 23 minutes left in this program, 740-383-9944. What do you think when you hear Bob Mason's words about what radio should be in Marion? That was from 1960. Now, the station had opened in 1940. 740-383-9944. Give us a call, or if you have any thoughts on anything, we'd love to hear from you. But I just think that says it all.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
And you have to inform the people.
Correct.
And if you don't, you shouldn't be there.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
And that's the way it goes. But it can be things like recipes and finding people's animals. Mm-hmm. It doesn't all have to be hard news, but to avoid what's going on nationally just because it's not a pretty thing to talk about, well, I don't think you should do that.
You know, we need, talking about pets, you need to really follow along their behavior. Mine are wild today. Why do you think they're wild?
Is it cold? Maybe it's because the weather has changed. The weather change.
Right.
How are the cats, Marge?
Oh, they are cute as Christmas. They really are. But they're into everything. And the big Tom cat, I call him Tom, he is so cute. But he carries the bowls around. Now, they're plastic. Real light plastic, but you never know where you're going to find his feed bowl because he hides it under the rugs. I've never seen a cat pull a rug back and hide a bowl under it in my life, but you've got to come into my house with caution. You never know what you're going to step on. or Uh-oh. Step in.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not anything that's bad, but you could step on a plastic bowl.
So they're still rambunctious.
Oh, very. But the weather does have a lot to do with their behavior.
Now, did you have them fixed and declawed?
They were done before they supposedly came to me.
Oh, good.
But they are really, really, I don't know how to explain them. They're different than any animal I've ever had in my life. They hide things, wrap things up in the claws that they find laying around. Wrap things up, literally wrap them, put them together so they look like a package. I've never seen anything like them. They should be studied.
But they give you a lot of joy.
Oh, my, oh, my.
You ready for the holidays coming up here, Marge?
Not really.
I can't, but we decorated the studio this past week.
Oh, the studio is fantastic.
We are Halloween for sure.
You sure are. Who did all this wonderful work?
I did this.
Why, it's really very well done.
We're ready for Halloween.
Spiders and all.
Spiders, skeletons, Dracula. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. We've got the whole thing going.
We really
there.
Do. It's really nice. This is such a nice place.
Well, it's nice to come here, and I think with the decorations, even though mm-hmm. it's radio, just like at Christmas with the tree and right. all the things we put up, it's a fun time of year.
Right, and it was wonderful to have the young children on today.
Yes, it was. Julia and Liam were mm-hmm. tremendous on Over the Back Fence
fantastic.
With Pastor Steve Whitaker. Right. What a great group of kids those were.
They are just fantastic.
You know, Marge, in all the years you worked with kids with disabilities, what did you find was their biggest thing to overcome?
Well, for one thing, people looking at them. Because people are curious what's wrong with them. And, you know, I guess if you don't understand, it might be well to have them explain it to you in their language.
Yeah.
Because they understand. They're going through it.
I would think that'd be a very difficult thing to overcome.
Oh, my, yes. I would think so.
You know, I have been thinking about this recently. I'm still crazy about apple butter. Mm-hmm. And I cannot find a good apple butter.
Well, they used to have it up there outside of Upper Sandusky.
Now, a very nice gentleman earlier this year bought me an apple butter up at the Cracker Barrel, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good apple butter. But the store-bought stuff, to me, does not taste like apple butter.
No, it doesn't. Not like the apple butter we stirred in the big old that big old metal container.
Now, didn't you use a pressure cooker?
Well, before that, we did it over open fire outdoors.
Right.
With a kettle hanging on some kind of a device. And we stirred and stirred and stirred. And hopefully you didn't get any of that on you because it would have burnt you badly.
But then once we got pressure cookers.
Yeah, we used the pressure cooker.
Used a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. Now, Charlie.
We didn't, but most people did.
Well, Charlie Evers claims that you cannot cook apple butter in a pressure cooker.
Oh, I don't know. I've never tried it.
Well, that's how I saw it done.
Mm.
Because it's very warm and. Mm-hmm. You know, because you have to keep that apple butter at a certain temperature
correct.
To get the texture you want. It's not
correct.
Like apple sauce.
No.
But I like the apple butter. I like to take an English muffin
oh.
and toast it, put a little bit of butter on it, and then apple butter.
Mm, that sounds good.
Isn't that delicious?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a coffee drinker, so I have a cup of tea with it. I'm not even really a big hot chocolate person.
Mm, I'm not
but
either.
But some tea and one of those English muffins with the apple butter and the little bit of butter, I'm home free.
Great, great.
Isn't that, see, that's good eating.
That is. Yeah. Homemade food.
Right.
I hardly make homemade food anymore. Because you can go out and buy it almost to taste to home cooked.
Now, the ingredients in apple butter, you have apples.
Right.
Which you have to grind up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have brown sugar.
Right.
And what else do you have in there?
Well, you can put cinnamon in if you want to.
Cinnamon. But that's it, isn't it?
That's about it.
What makes it, how do you ground the apples up? Do you put them in a...
Something like a meat grinder thing, if I remember right.
But you gotta decore them.
Yes.
You gotta take the core out.
Correct.
Does anybody know how to make apple butter out there? 740-383-9944. I might get ambitious.
Well, there's all kinds of, I've got cookbooks that have it in. And we did it outdoors. Where we had it over fire, open fire, and had a big kettle hanging on some kind of a device to keep it so it would be in place. We made apple butter every fall.
Now, you have to peel the apples.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, with those peelings in
it. So it's a big project.
Right. There are people who do leave the peelings on, but we didn't.
You have to get rid of the peelings, and you have to get rid of the core.
Correct.
And then you have to smash up the apples, mm-hmm. and then put brown sugar and cinnamon, possibly in there, mm-hmm. and then put them in a mason jar.
Right.
And then do whatever you want with
it. And be careful you don't break the mason jar.
No. You know, you need a funnel.
Yes.
Funnel it down into that mason jar.
Right. So,
what are some of the things, people used to can a lot of vegetables, but I was never into that. But what are some of the good, tasty things that people used to can?
Oh, well, we canned all our practically produce that we made. We canned peaches and we canned not apples so much. Oh, let's see what else we do. Cherries. To make cherry pie. We made that all the time. We went and bought them. We went to Clyde, Ohio, and bought them because that's where they raised them a lot. I don't know. We lived off the land, folks. We did not buy things the store.
People used to make their own cough syrup.
Yeah.
Now, I think that was booze, wasn't it?
I don't know, but we didn't buy any of it.
Did booze in that?
I don't know. Probably they did.
I think it was rum.
Probably.
You take rum.
Whiskey, probably.
Whiskey, yeah, and things like that. But I don't know if that's a good idea.
I don't know. We never had those ingredients in the house, so I don't know.
But then they put something over it, vanilla, I think, which took the whiskey taste away, mm-hmm. and that's how you had cold syrup.
Okay.
I don't know. Nobody ever did it in my neighborhood.
Nope, mine either.
But I know they still say a hot toddy is the best thing to clear up your...
But what's in a hot toddy?
Well, I think it's any kind of booze you have, and you dump it in tea.
Oh.
And then you drink it. You boil it. You boil it. Like, you put the tea kettle. Does anybody have tea kettles anymore?
Yes, I do.
You take the tea kettle, and you put the... I think it can be any... But mostly people use whiskey, but I think you can use vodka, anything with alcohol, because alcohol kills everything. Mm-hmm. You put all that in a tea kettle with whatever you're drinking, like tea, and then you pour that into a cup and you drink it.
Right.
But you don't want to boil the alcohol off of it.
No.
No, I don't think you boil the alcohol. I think you boil the tea and then you add the whiskey or whatever to it after it's boiled. But apparently that's supposed to kill just about everything in you.
Well, I don't know. We used a lot of home remedies. Maybe they gave that to us. I don't know.
But do people still do for chicken pox oatmeal? Oatmeal paste?
I don't know. We didn't do anything like that.
I remember when, to stop people from itching, there was supposed to be something in
we
oatmeal.
We did cornstarch, I think.
I just remember they put wax paper down on your bed. And then they put that oatmeal all over you. And it apparently stopped you from itching. Because if you itch those chicken pox scars, you can make scars for life on your body.
Oh, yes. I don't have a one.
Now, they say, I forget, if you have chicken pox when you're a child.
You don't get them as an adult.
You can't. But it you can get shingles or you can't get shingles. It's something, there's some correlation there.
I did know how that worked. I'm not sure.
I think it's if you had chicken pox, you can't get shingles.
I don't know, because my family have had shingles and they had chicken pox.
Well, maybe it's that. Maybe it's if you had chicken pox.
I don't really know.
Neither do I. I know it has something to do with that. There's some correlation to shingles and chicken pox.
I just didn't get things like that when I was a child. And I got into nurses training, and they, of course, do a real thorough checkup of you of what have you had and what didn't you have. I didn't have any of this stuff. So I didn't get it till I got to be an adult, which is an awful thing to get this kind of stuff when you're an adult. And, with me teaching school, my goodness, I got everything that came down the pike.
Susceptible.
Because, I never had it as a child. Yeah. And they'd go to the doctor, and he'd say, well, you should have had it as a child. Well, I can't help it. I slept with my sisters, but I never got it.
Right.
So I can't help that I didn't get it.
No, it's different altogether because When you get those illnesses as an adult, chicken pox can be one of the worst things get when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in very bad shape.
Oh, yes. You can become blind over some of this stuff.
I tell you, life can change on a dime. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned.
Right, right.
But I don't... There's all kinds of stuff like that that is... like sweet potato pie. How is sweet potato pie different than... I mean, obviously, you use sweet potatoes. But what else do you use? Because you usually get the canned pumpkin to make pumpkin pie.
Right.
So what do you get? Canned sweet potatoes for sweet potato pie?
You know, I really don't know because I never eat any of that stuff.
I've never had sweet potato pie either. Mm. Now, I've had pumpkin pie.
Yes, I have too. And we boiled that down and we took that and scraped it out of the container and... made sure there weren't any seeds in it, stirred it up really good, and put it in the pie shell, and away you went.
Yeah, but I don't know how you do sweet potato pie. I don't know if you just take the canned sweet potatoes and mash them all up and put them in the pie crust.
They'd probably have it already mashed up for you.
Do you remember when people used to make their own pie crust?
Why, I still do.
Well, see, a lot of people, they've gone to these already made pie crust.
My mother would fall over in her grave if she saw that. She never did. We made it by hand.
And you had to pinch around the edge to get the crust. But you know, this whole cooking thing is going by the wayside.
Well, they don't even teach home ec in high school anymore.
What happened there? I don't know, boys.
I would think in this day and age it'd be a time they need it because they don't know how to cook.
You know, I'll tell you how inept I was when it came to home ec, though. Not the food part. But the first part, home ec when I was in high school was odd because half the class started, they wanted to teach you cooking and sewing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to teach you. So half the time you spent on sewing while the other part was doing cooking, and then half the time was cooking while the other part was doing sewing.
Right.
Well, the sewing part of it was you had to make a letter of the alphabet out of some fabric and some cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd never used a sewing machine in my life.
Still can't.
Never. So I sit down at this machine, and I've got my cloth, and I've got my cotton to fill my pillow with, and I'm making the letter I, which is what everybody did who didn't know what they were doing, because the letter I was you just had to go around it,
right,
and you were done. So I'm sitting there getting ready to make this thing, and everybody's wearing the things, and I'm thinking, I'm flipping my switch on and off and on and off, and I can't get this thing to move. And I'm starting to sweat because I'm thinking, is my thing broken? What am I doing here? Why won't this thing move? And I went on with this for like, I don't know how long, maybe 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out what's going on here because you weren't close to somebody else where you could see what's going on. I didn't realize it was a pedal. A pedal.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know anything about the pedal. Go ahead, caller. Caller, are you there? Hello. Caller.
No.
Well, if that was you, call us back. 740-383-9944. It looks like we got a call there. Give us a call back. 740-383-9944. Or if you'd like to call in, we do have about 8 minutes left in the program. Give us a call. If that was you, because that's what happened, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my house, they didn't have a sewing machine.
Right.
My mother always sewed everything with her hands,
mm-hmm,
and so did my grandmother. So the only time I saw anything being sewn, it was always being done that way. So I didn't know anything about the pedal.
So you were sitting there?
I was sitting there like a bump on a pickle. I didn't know what was going on.
But you know, see, that's where we take... and take things for granted, that everyone knows how to do all these things. You and I can talk about it. I can visualize it because I actually saw my mother sew all the time. When she got the electric sewing machine, it wasn't any fun to watch it anymore. But I never did learn to do, I just never learned to do those homebody things. Remember, I wanted to be outdoors. I wanted where the action was.
It just took me forever to find the pedal. That was awful. Because you feel like such a just a moron,
mm-hmm,
because you're thinking all I had to do was look down at my feet and push. But the machines we had in high school, the problem was the pedal was on a cord. So if it wasn't right at your feet, you didn't see it.
Right.
It could be back behind something. Oh, it was awful. But I did get that pillow sewn.
Very good.
And I kept it for a long time. Now, I don't know where it is now. I think I did see it not too long ago. But boy, I did not know what I was doing. By the way, caller, if that was you, call in. We still do have 6 minutes left in the show today. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We'd love to talk to you about any of this stuff. But, you know, but I can sew today if you gave me... I don't have a sewing machine, though. So I have to use, you know, needle and thread. But getting the thread in the eye of that needle...
is another thing.
It's also very difficult.
I didn't like to sew.
I don't like to sew, no.
I would love to be able to, but I'm just not. And my sisters are very good seamsters. My mother was, too. And my dad wasn't really bad at it. But me? No way. I just didn't like it. I didn't want to do it.
Now, I can cook fairly decent.
Yeah, I can, too.
But I'll tell you, the sewing part of it, I am just a foreign entity.
Yep, I am too.
When it comes to sewing, I have no idea what's going on there. But, you know, I don't think I ever did see anybody with a sewing machine, with a pedal, except that one time in high school. Because that's become a bygone thing, right along with cooking homemade and everything else that we do.
Well, and the same thing with doing a lot of things that we did by hand or feet or whatever we had there to use. Compared to what it was a long time ago.
And I was never crafty.
I like to do crafty things.
You do?
See, yeah, that's why I'm all mixed up, see. I mean, you know, I don't want to do it in the sequence it should be in.
Yeah.
I want to get to the end result right now.
I was just never in... at one time, I thought I was going to take up painting. And I did a few of those. That was it. Because it's not soothing to me.
No.
I'm just not a crafty person. And at some point in your life, you have to observe what you're good at and what you're not good at.
Right.
And crafting was not one of the things I was good at. So I just do other things.
Right.
I still have a thing with deviled eggs, though, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I like deviled eggs, and I understand how to make them, but I have trouble getting the shell off when you're making the deviled eggs.
Well, the shell?
The shell.
Oh, they've got things now you can deshell things with little instrumentation. They've just got all kinds of stuff out, and I can't remember, but Penny, my friend, brought some stuff in. And she, oh, look, we don't have to do this hard work with the shells because they can be a mess. They can also ruin your eggs, too.
So that's what would happen is... I would boil a dozen eggs, because when you're doing it, you want it to be a project. I'd boil the eggs, and then I would, the boiling part's simple, and then I'd let them cool in the sink, and then I would go over and try to bust the shell. And as I was busting the shell, trying to peel the shell off, I would ruin the egg.
Right.
But the yolk is still good, so I would still dump the yolk in the bowl and mix it with the mustard and the Miracle Whip and a little bit of sugar and get that. But by the time I was done, I had like 4 eggs that came out okay, but I had this big tub of filling.
Right.
So I just ate the filling.
Right. Put it on bread.
Well, it's very good. The filling is very good, but I wish I had the egg because I don't know. What is the filling called? Now, there's a question. It's not called yolk because a yolk is just plain.
Yeah.
And it's not... They're called deviled eggs, but it's not called devil's filling.
Well, I have news. You work at Kroger, and my friend goes over there, and she buys the stuff all made up.
Oh, she buys the deviled eggs already made up.
Well, yes, they do it.
Well, they do. Well, see, but I try to be crafty. That's the one craft I try to attempt.
I know.
Maybe I should throw in the towel on the whole thing.
Yeah, maybe what you need to do is go ahead and buy them already made up and tell everybody you made them.
Well, you know, you can do that. See, if you really want to fool people at the holidays... Go out and buy the stuff and then throw the container away and put it on a plate. People will think you're just Martha Stewart.
Right.
Who's that cook who got in all the trouble? Frugal Gourmet. They'll think you're the Frugal Gourmet. Frugal means thrifty. So why was he the Frugal Gourmet? The thrifty gourmet? Is that what they were saying he was? He was picky? He was the picky gourmet. I never understood that title either.
No, I don't either.
You know, he got in trouble for... I think he was involved in some things. Long before the Me Too movement, he was involved in some things that he shouldn't have got his hands involved in. But I never understood his title. Mm. The frugal gourmet. What? The picky gourmet?
Mm.
Ruined his whole life.
Hmm.
I think he was just on PBS, though. You remember him?
No.
No, his name was Jeff. I think Jeff Smith or something like that.
I didn't know him.
But boy, he got in trouble.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, I think about that now, all this stuff that's going on with men and women and kids, involved kids, if I'm making. But this has been going on a while.
Oh, yes.
People have been doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And, The Frugal Gourmet did not have a happy ending, but he was fun to watch, because at one point PBS, all they had was him and they had old Bob Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the old painter. And then they had somebody else. I mean, they had the kids shows like Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers, but they had another, Slim Goodbody, who did health program. He's still alive. I think he still goes to schools.
You know,
things.
I'm amazed at how many kids your age... You're older now as adults. But I don't know where I was at that time. I must have been in college or something, because I didn't see any of these people.
Well, PBS didn't have any programming in those days. So if they had the Frugal Gourmet or Bob Ross, they just ran them continuously.
Oh.
They still run them. I think Bob Ross is still on, and he's been dead for 30 years.
Poor guy.
He was a Vietnam veteran, I think is the story on him, I think. And but he was so quiet, so quiet. He's just brushing his little paintbrushes there on the easel. And too bad he died young.
I know.
It's a shame that the poor man died young.
Right.
It's just a tragedy. But that's the way it goes.
I thought we had a ghost coming.
You never know. But we're done with this program today, so we are going to break, and we're going to come back with Exchange Club here in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Question I've been asked the most since I did the interview with you back in October of 2010. Why did you finally decide to speak, and how did it come about that you chose me to do the first interview?
Well, because you've been very kind. Very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth. I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Baptist Church is located at 2816 Marion Waldo Road. It's time for the Marion Midget Football Scoreboard Roundup Week Number 2. The Pee-wee Jets defeated the Pee-wee Giants 7-6. The Vikings defeated the Lions 28-0, and the Jets defeated the 49ers 27-0.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition to our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Hi, are you looking for a church that is Bible teaching?